Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. God sent a Savior, His only Son, to save a poor lost soul like me. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail-scarred, His side was riven. He gave His life blood for even me. He left the Father with all His riches, with calmness sweet and serene, came down from heaven and gave His life blood to make the vilest sinner clean. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail-scarred, His side was riven. He gave His life blood for even me. Death's chilly waters I'll soon be crossing. His hand will lead me safe o'er. I'll join the chorus in that great city and sing up there forevermore. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail-scarred, His side was riven. He gave His life blood for even me. Hallelujah, what a
thank you. What a Savior. Hebrews chapter 11 is where we'll be today. Hebrews chapter 11. Talk about that man, Moses. I've got a new sermon today. I just look at my notes here in my Bible. I think I like those old notes better than these new ones. I've got five or six sermons from Hebrews chapter 11, but I notice there's one. See, in my preaching Bible, every other page is blank, and so I've just got sermon outlines all the way through it. But I notice I don't know when I preached that one, but it says Moses refused, he forsook, and he endured. That sounds pretty good. Well, anyway, we got something different today. We're going to be talking about making right choices. Making the right choices. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. What's the first word? By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Making the right choices. Let's bow together once again. Seth, stand and pray for your daddy while he preaches today. Yes. Amen. Making the right choices. Hebrews chapter 11, we sometimes give it the title, the chapter of faith. Heroes of faith. And it gives many, many examples of people that accomplished great things by faith. Four times in your Bible, you'll read the words, the just shall live by faith. Once in the Old Testament, and three times in the New Testament. The just, that's you and me, therefore being justified by faith. So it's talking about us. Therefore, the just shall live by faith. Many things have been accomplished through God's people through the years that stepped out by faith. Moses, the one we just read about, made some wise choices by faith. But it's only fair to say, as great a man as he was, he made some bad choices. And those choices weren't made by faith. In fact, you go back, we'll not turn there. I just always try to tell you where I'm coming from. But you go all the way back to Exodus chapter 2. One day, at the age of 40, and that's made reference here when he came to years, he stepped out one day, knowing that he was a Hebrew, knowing that he'd been reared in Egyptian culture, but blood's still pretty thick, amen? He knew he was a Jew. He knew his Jewish brethren were in trouble in Egypt. And so he stepped out on his own to try to deliver them. And as a result of that, he killed a person. So that was not a wise choice. In fact, he attempting to deliver Israel by his own power cost him another 40 years of his life. He was 40 when he committed murder. He was 80 when God actually said, okay, maybe after 40 years of training, I've got you all straightened out. Or maybe you've got me all figured out. And as a result of his bad choice, his people spent another 40 years in captivity, in bondage, as a result of the bad choice that he made. But consider this. If Moses had not made the choices we read about in the Bible, we'd need ancient history to learn anything about him. So think about that. The choices he made has allowed Moses to become a household name. He was given the law by God himself, oftentimes referred to as the law of Moses, or the Mosaic Law, given to from God directly to Moses. He also became the emancipator of Israel, the deliverer of Israel. He also wrote the first five books of the Bible. And so God used him in a great way once he made the right choices by faith. And just let me stop to say this. You're where you're at this morning by choice. And you're what you are in life by choice. God has created us as free moral agents, and we are people of our own choosing. There are choices that we would probably say they're just little choices that turn out later in life to be big choices. But then sometimes we're just faced with big, big choices, decisions. One of the Old Testament writers talked about Israel one time, said there are multitudes of you in the valley of decision. Now, sometimes we have to make hard decisions, don't we? Sometimes decisions that we would prefer not to make. But it's the best interest of everyone, including self, that we sometimes just have to make hard decisions. Sometimes what we think are just little choices have great impacts on our life. Sometimes the choices we make changes the course of our life forever. I'll give an example, a personal example. I'd love to give my testimony. I was strolling along at age 22, working and married and family life, and just kind of strolling along, enjoying my work, enjoying family, and just coasting along. And then one night, February the 28th, 1967, Brother Levi Reynolds, Baptist preacher, came to my house, took the Bible, showed me how to get saved. I bowed the head. In fact, I got on my knees by the couch. Probably no more than 20 seconds. I prayed a sinner's prayer. Just a little 20-second prayer. Didn't realize. In fact, if you'd asked me, I said, well, that's no big deal, just a little choice. But that little choice turned out to be a big choice because it altered my life for the rest of my life. And the moment that you trusted Christ, always remember this, that was not a little choice. That was the greatest choice. You say, no, this choice is greater than that. No, there's not. No, there's not. That's the greatest choice you ever make. It's when you choose to accept Christ as your Savior, because it changes where you're going to spend eternity. Think about that. Wow. That decision that altered my course in life was a simple faith that I placed in the man, Christ Jesus. Now, faith may not alter your life in the same way that it altered my life. I mean, many folk, when they get saved, God allows them to continue in their same profession, same occupations. It's just that they've been born again. They're now on the way to heaven. But sometimes there are those that when God saves them, He alters their lifestyle completely. He changes their professions, as He did me. Say, I'm not a mama called or a daddy called, and I'm not a professional preacher. I'd like to believe if God had not called me to preach, I'd be a good, faithful church member. Maybe the best deacon God ever made or something like that, or a good Sunday school teacher. But I'm in the ministry because God chose me and God called me to preach the gospel. That's the only reason that I'm in that pulpit this morning. I didn't choose this. God chose it for me. But the day that I chose Christ as my Savior, then that altered my life from age 22 till as long as I live. And I'm happy the way God's altered that, by the way. I enjoy what I do. I hope that it shows up in my lifestyle and my preaching. But you know, you talk about this thing of faith, and we're talking about faith in Jesus Christ. You find it in some of the most unexpected places. Now, sometimes we have a tendency to be critical, don't we? Hello? Sometimes we have a tendency to be judgmental. And sometimes we get to thinking, well, in that situation in life, just a bunch of heathens in there. But if we really knew just how many people in places that we abhor and are critical of, yet they have that simple faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, you find that all the way through the Bible. In Luke chapter 8, verse 3, during the ministry of Jesus Christ, I picked up on this the other day when I was preparing notes for this sermon. says, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. Now, does everybody agree old Herod's pretty wicked? This Herod is pretty wicked, wasn't he? All right, but look at this. And Susanna and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. Think about this. Look at that again. The wife of one of Herod's stewards had faith enough in Jesus Christ that she hooked up with other ladies and ministered unto him. You say, what do you think they were doing? I think they cooked him a meal. I think her faith was anchored in that he was who he claimed to be, that he was the Savior. Unusual place, but it showed up. Then in Paul's life, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 22, when Paul was in prison, he said, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. If I had not read that in the Bible, I would have not believed anybody in Caesar's household was a Christian. But Paul was there. I mean, he was a prisoner. And he recognized. He said, I'm saluting. He said, all the saints salute you. But he said, chiefly, in other words, especially those in Caesar's household. As wicked as Caesar was, yet there were those who still trusted Christ as Savior. And then we're talking about Moses. How about Moses? Grew up in Pharaoh's household. Now, all of these conversions amaze me considering the environment that they grew up in. We can learn some things by that. Moses was reared in a heathen palace for all but just the first few years of his life. If you've read the Old Testament, if you've read the book of Exodus, you know when he was born, that decree was, you know, just kill all the babies. But yet, in process of time, through planning of his mother, and get this, and through pulling on the heartstring of Pharaoh's daughter, and you know the rest of that story, she adopted him as her son. But what's interesting about it is that Moses' biological mother got paid for raising him. Now, I don't wake rest you mamas up, amen? But we're not going to put you on the payroll right now, okay? But think about that. Got paid for rearing her own son until he was weaned. And they didn't wean him after 6 months in those days either, by the way. She had him longer than that. But he was reared in that home. After that, he was given over. And then he was reared in that heathen palace of Pharaoh's among the Egyptians. He was given the best education that Pharaoh could give him. Now, when God had sent him to, I guess, seminary for 40 years, God said, okay, Moses, you tried it 40 years ago and failed. Now we're going to do it my way and we're going to win. And then Moses began to kind of put up arguments, you know, well, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that. But the Bible teaches otherwise. Acts chapter 7, verse 22 says, Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. Now, it's only fair to say this, though. This was an education that would oppose every tenet of true faith in God, because the Egyptians served idols. In fact, when you go back and study all those plagues that God through Moses sent to try to force Pharaoh to deliver his people, every one of those plagues was a direct attack from God on one of their false idols and their false gods. Every plague was an attack on that. But you know, there's a fact that we can learn about this. In the midst of all of that heathendom, in a land of totally given to idolatry, Moses found out that it's still possible to live for the Lord even when everyone around him was the very opposite. And the same can still be said today. It's still true. I still believe that Jesus and you will make a majority every single time, and that'll put you on the winning side. Amen. So that'll eliminate just a whole lot of excuses. Making the right choices. Now, faith doesn't need favorable conditions to grow. Faith depends on our confidences in the Word of God. We'll say a little bit more about that in a few moments. Here's another fact that we learn from this. Parents who live for God, that faith can carry over to their children. All kind of examples of it right here. All kind of examples of it right here. Me? My children? Chase, maybe one day, your children? Amen. Your children? Dennis? Justine? Donald? Derek? Our faith can have an effect on our children. And by the way, God's will and His desire is for our faith to expand and multiply and carry over to our children. The few years that Moses spent in the home of his parents, his biological parents, before he was turned over to Pharaoh, left an imprint on Moses that the palace in Egypt could not take away. Sister Materia asked me a question when she came in. She said, what about, going back to Old Testament history, she said, how about the Assyrians and the Babylonians and Egyptians and all those people that were held captive? She said something to the effect, she said, what about those people? What happened to those people? And said, did they turn out to be Assyrians or whatever? I said, once a Jew, always a Jew. Once a Jew, always a Jew. They know they are Jews. Now, those, for example, those Jews that were born and reared during the 70 years in Babylon, they chose to stay, but they knew they were Jews. And you read the book of Esther, and that tells you exactly what took place during those 70 years in captivity in Babylon. But see, those people knew that they were Jews. Now, I don't care. You can pick me up and you can send me Timbuktu, but I'm still going to know I'm an American. Amen? I'm Dutch-American. Well, everybody says they're African-American. I'm Dutch-American, I guess, because my folks came from Ireland. Amen? That makes me Dutch-American. Amen? Got offered to pay my way to the Philippines and fly out tomorrow. And I said, thank you, but no thanks. Been there and done that. If I was still healthy as I was 10 years ago, I'd have been on that plane in the morning. I love preaching to folks where 15 and 20 and 30 folks get saved every time you preach. I enjoyed that. But I don't enjoy those 14-hour plane rides three different times in order to get there. My legs just won't handle that and sit still that long. In fact, the last time I stood up most of the way home in the back of the plane. But anyway, pray for those who are going. But those Jews, I don't care where they're at, they know they are a Jew. You know you're American, don't you? Nothing's going to take that away. Hebrews 11, look at that verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Knew that he was a proper child. Let me stop him. I just have notes scribbled down, but 90% of what I say just comes to me while I'm standing on my feet. When he was born, they sensed something special about that child. Now let me ask you something. What did you think when your children were born? Our nursery is going to be full of springtime around here. But let me say something to you parents. No conception is accident with God. And God has something special for those children. And when those children come in your home, you love them, you protect them. I said you protect them. Take care of them. Because God has something special for those children. They saw that he was a proper child, and because of that, they weren't afraid of the king's commandment. Now, verse 25 says that also Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. There's that word choosing. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Moses chose to follow God. Now, here he was, 40 years of age. And he made a choice. He'd been there And you can just guess how many years after his mama weaned him, he was turned over as the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. But at age 40, I don't know if he pinched himself one day or what, or I don't know if he looked in the mirror or what, but he said, you know what? I'm a Jew. And I don't belong here. He said, I don't want to be called Pharaoh's son. He said, I'm going to choose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now, who were the people of God at that time? It was his Hebrew brethren and sisters that were down in Egypt. And they'd been there for 400 years. And he made a choice. By the way, it was a free will choice. He could have disobeyed God. God may have killed him. But he could have disobeyed God. It very clearly says he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now, Moses' decision started with a positive and a negative. A positive and a negative. First of all, let's look at the negative. What he chose not to do. He said, I will not continue as an adopted son. You find that in verse 24. By faith, Moses, he's come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Negative response. But then we see a positive response. What he chose to do. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. So you have a negative and you have a positive. Now, you know, we reveal what kind of faith we have by the kind of people we choose to associate with. Moses chose to suffer affliction with God's people. So that aligned him. He said, I'm going to cast my lot with God's people. And he did it by faith. Verses 26 and 27 tells us that Moses had confidence in God's word. Look at verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Wow. As seeing him who is invisible. Who's that? Jesus Christ. As seeing him who is invisible. You see, what's that got to do with Moses believing God's word? Well, because all the way back to Genesis, keep in mind, he wrote that later. Moses has much to say about that coming Messiah. The star out of Jacob. Different things he wrote about. He had much to say about that. Moses had faith in the coming Messiah. In fact, I just picked this up reading through my Bible last night. I'm in the book of Acts. And, just reading. I read 15 chapters in it. In chapter 15, and I marked this in the Bible at home, and I picked it up just a moment ago. In Acts chapter 15, verse 21. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him. Did you get that? Moses had in every city. And even all the way through the Old Testament, and even in the days when Christ was here, Moses still had teachers, prophets, in every city, in the synagogues, every Sabbath, teaching the Old Testament. Wow. What a following he had. Genesis 15, verse 13, he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And they did. You say, what's that got to do with Moses believing God's word? Moses knew the promise that God had made to Abraham. And Moses did his homework. Moses got his calculator out. And Moses said, you know what? That 400 years is up. Amen. He said, that 400 years is up. And it's time for God to keep his promise without realizing that he was going to be involved in that. But God had plans and purpose for Moses. But see, Moses stepped out by faith. And he said, that 400 years is up. It's time for God's people to be delivered. That tells me Moses had great respect for God and his promises and his word. He knew that time had expired. As I began to wrap it up, Moses saw the folly of having riches without justice. He saw the folly of having luxury without dignity. He saw the folly of having an education without a godly purpose in life. He also saw the folly of having power without a cause and without a purpose. He also came to realize the folly of ruling an empire and being rejected by the supreme ruler of the universe. I would say Moses made the right choice, wouldn't you? Now, it poses some questions as we begin to wrap it up. What choices are you making in life? Who comes first, you or God? We have a choice. What kind of choices are you making? Joshua, toward the end of his life, a man, a great general, a great servant of God, had this to say when he was challenging Israel and preparing them for his soon departure. He had this to say to a nation. He said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. You see that free will choice there? Where the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood are the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Now taking the top of that verse and the bottom of that verse, notice what he says. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Who are you serving today? Self? Society? Are you going to serve the Lord? He created us as free moral agents. Free choice. I didn't even have to come to church today, but I chose to. I didn't even have to answer God's call to preach, but I chose to. I didn't even have to get saved, Chase, but I chose to. I could have refused to let that preacher in my house 48 years ago. In fact, he told me later that the folks next door wouldn't let him in. So Brother Kent said, well, it's getting late. He said, you don't think we better go home? He said, let's just knock on one more door. Boy, I'm sure glad they did. Because that door happened to be where I live. I don't spend a lot of time, Brother Bill, thinking about this, but what if they'd have went on back home? Where would I be today? Bad choices? Victim of bad choices? Reaping what I sowed? Boy, I'm so glad that pastor overruled his deacon and knocked on my door. Told me about Jesus, but I'm glad I chose to pray a little 20-second prayer and ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart. Change my direction in life. Saved by the grace of God. Let me ask you something. Have you ever made that choice? Have you ever made that choice? What you do with Jesus Christ is number one. Family life is number two. You say, well, why is that number one? Because it determines where you spend eternity. And I hope that every person listening to me can walk out these doors in just a few moments knowing that you have chosen Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you've never done that, we're going to stand and sing here in just a moment or two. And you can make that choice this morning. If you've never made it, I plead with you. I beg you to call on Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior. If you've done that, who knows? Who knows what you're going to be doing 10 years from now? You may be preaching. You may be teaching. You may be a Sunday school teacher. You may be a missionary. Who knows? But whatever happens once you trust Christ, it's always for your benefit and the benefit of others around you, that faith can be multiplied. Let's stand together very quietly.